and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the cross-fitting voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Morning.
Good morning. How are we?
Good, good, thank you. Very easy to figure out what we're going to be talking about there, isn't it?
It is, yes. I thought you might come up with something a little bit more creative. Given that this is this like the first of a new series? I was thinking that, because we just keep on going. We don't necessarily position these into series one, series two, but this is a new season. This is our third season.
It is our third season, 2018-19, 2019-20. Yeah, third and a half, maybe.
Yeah. We should really, I mean, again, it's probably a level of professionalism that we're not going to reach, but to actually like put them into different seasons would make sense.
Okay.
Because it is a new season.
It is.
It's exciting. I went to a game yesterday with fans.
Wow, where did you go?
I went to Ipswich. Went to Ipswich, really good, but actual fans, people shouting, watching a game that wasn't in silence. It was unusual.
Did it feel a bit weird?
Oh, it was amazing. Do you know what? Everyone said it over the last, obviously I know a lot of people had the joy of watching England in the summer, but for me, that was the first time watching a game with fans for so long. And yeah, it makes such a difference. I think we're going to see as well a lot. I think we've mentioned this, but goalkeepers, not just goalkeepers, but players that aren't used to this, you know, that have gone from academy football to 23s football to playing last season. So they've never actually fully experienced playing with fans. But yeah, being at the game yesterday at Portman Road, 21,000, just over 21,000 were there. It was brilliant atmosphere.
More so for goalkeepers as well, because they are so close. At Portman Road, maybe not as much, but who was it? So it would have been Hladke and...
It was Mr. Leatherin.
Of course it was.
Your favourite, Mr. Leatherin, yes. Who was very good, I must say. In fact, both keepers were yesterday. It was, we'll mention both keepers, I'm sure, during the pod, and obviously lots of other goalkeepers. You did say cross-fitting. We're going to touch on that as well. But before that, we're going to make it known. We're only going to do one a week moving forward. We used to do a Monday and a Thursday, but we are just going to do a Monday moving forward.
That is correct, yes. From here on in, one Between the Sticks every week, plus hopefully a feature interview too. We've got one coming up next week, of course.
Already recorded, which you'll be releasing, I assume, this week when you get around to it.
Yes, when I get around to it. Jonathan Bond. Of MLS outfit LA Galaxy, Richard, we spoke to.
He's made quite a name for himself over there. Really good interview, so be sure to keep an eye out for that.
It was tough for you, though, wasn't it? Because of the time difference, we did it late at night, and you struggled a little bit.
Concentration levels weren't as good as they normally are. I'm normally asleep by 9:30, 10, so doing a podcast at 11 wasn't ideal. However, I thought I got through it okay. It was only afterwards that you told me that I was horrendous, and I took the conversation into places that had no interest to anyone other than me.
We might have to reference that in the actual pod, so you just wait to listen to that one. Do you know what? I did say crossfitting. Let's stick a pin in it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it next time. Let's do that. Sounds good to me.
Okay, if you'd like to get in touch with us, it is very easy to do so on Twitter at GK Union, hello at goalkeepersunion.net, or on our phone number 07503673020. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Oh, there it is, Richard, the music.
Straight away.
We've not heard it for a while.
Got in cold.
Yes, we have. No Premier League, of course, this week. So straight into the Championship. And we are going to start over at the Vitality Stadium. Bournemouth 2, West Brom 2, and Mark Travers and David Button in nets for each.
Indeed. Interesting. And it will be very interesting for both of them as to how it progresses for both of them. Because, of course, with David Button in particular, it does very much look like he will be the number one this season. But, of course, you have got the Sam Johnston issue rumbling in the background. You can't help but feel that he'll find his way back to the Premier League. But I thought it was a very, very assured performance from David Button. And Mark Travers as well, where he's got potentially Freddie Woodman lurking in the background as well. So it was nice to see him get off to a positive start. But I really enjoyed this game. Really interesting game of football to watch, and actually seeing how both goalkeepers adapted to the slightly different styles of football that they'll be playing this season under both managers. So certainly with West Brom and David Button, so direct, but you feel that the way in which he plays and the distribution he has, the ability to release the ball quickly, go as long as he does with that trajectory that he gets on those kicks, it was really, really powerful. And you just felt for West Brom, they're going to put some teams under pressure this season.
Yeah, Sam Johnston. So he was on the bench after the game. The manager did say, you know, we're hoping to keep him, But if he does move on, that is David Button likely to be number one moving forward.
Yeah, really interesting situation. You can't imagine you'd have two goalkeepers of that calibre at a championship club. So something has to happen there, you feel, over the coming weeks. But certainly, David Button's done himself no harm whatsoever. I mean, a couple of the saves he made, good one low down to his right, and then a fantastic one low down to his right. The cross that's come far post, moved across the goal. The way in which he got set, and you have to get set in a neutral position. If you're moving at all, you stand no chance. But the speed at which he got back down to his right, great palm round the post. No chance in the goal. A little bit unfortunate with the second one. One of those ones where it's crossed across the box and you've got two decisions. You can either get out and try and parry it and affect it, or you can allow it to go across the 6-yard box. Of course, if you're then to allow it to go across the 6-yard box, turn and set on your line and they tap it in at the far post, everyone's going to ask you, well, why didn't you try and affect the play and get the parry? But of course, if you parry, ordinarily you're going to parry it back out into danger. Now, you try and get as big a parry as you can. You try and parry it back from where it came from as much as you possibly can. But ultimately, there's only so much control you have. And unfortunately for him, of course, it dropped at the feet of, I think it was Billing, was it, who finished it. A very good finish as well, to be fair. So nothing he could have done there. And I just thought throughout he looked very composed. And similarly, Mark Travers, as mentioned, he's got potentially Freddie Woodman coming in if stories are to be believed. And I thought he looked very assured all night.
QPR 1, Millwall 1, Bart Bielkowski up to his old tricks again at full stretch to deny Chris Willock in that one. And over at Deepdale, Preston 1, Hull 4. What a result this was. Declan Rudd back for his first competitive outing since the new year, since January the 2nd. He lasted just a few minutes. Not nice, this one.
No, not at all. Obviously, wish him the best here. It didn't look particularly nice, and certainly having been through what he's been through, you always hope that, you know, whether it's karma or whatever you want to put it down to, that once you've had a serious injury, that you have then a run of a period of time when things go your way. So nothing worse than opening day for something like this to happen, but hopefully it's not too long before he's back.
Dan Iverson coming in to replace him yesterday. He's back for a season-long loan at Preston, was there for the second half of the season last season because Rudd got injured. But an interesting situation, this.
Yeah, I mean, there were always the rumours ever since the close of play last season that he would be coming back in. Of course, very well liked there. Top goalkeeper, has to be said. But it is odd now that you've got Ripley, Rudd and Iverson. You know, very, very strong goalkeeping department. And essentially, you have got two number ones, you'd say, in Rudd and Iverson. So I'm not quite sure how they're going to keep both of them happy. I'm assuming there's a bigger plan at place, or whether one is due to move on, I'm not sure. But there's a few situations like that now in the Championship where you've maybe had that pre-season where two goalkeepers have been fighting it out 50-50, who's going to start? You know, Stoke would be a good example. Cardiff would be a good example. And it's always then very interesting as to when one does get the nod, how it then plays out thereafter.
Matt Ingram with a good game as well for Hull there. And Blackburn 2, Swansea 1. Stephen Bender finally given the nod at Swansea. Just his second appearance for the club. Two solid blocks in the first half. Unlucky with the opener. Not so unlucky perhaps with the second.
No, a difficult moment for him this, in that ball has come back to him. Now, of course, we know that Russell Martin's going to want to play a style of football that is, yeah, total possession. You know, we spoke about Andy Fisher and how well he did it for MK Dons last season. At times, heart in mouth stuff, you know, because they really do look to take risks and look to play out whenever possible. And it worked really well, of course, for MK last season. So I do wonder whether that was in his mind here, where the ball's come back. You know, when you've got that kind of pressure on you, it's so easy to say kick it into row Z, but it did feel like one of those moments where you had a couple of strikers coming in on you, couldn't find the pass, tried to take the touch, wasn't a particularly good touch, and then it's the decision thereafter. And it is difficult, because once you've taken the bad touch and the striker has nicked the ball off you, it's then a question of what do you do. Now, of course, logically, you say, well, show them wide, get yourself back into goal and then defend the second phase of play. But of course, how often do we see it that then a goalkeeper tries to put in a challenge to make up for the initial error? And of course, that then leads to the penalty and the penalty's dispatched. So a tough moment for him, because I think other than that, from what I could see, it looked like he did well. There were some good saves in there. And of course, he's a top young goalkeeper, had a tough time last season with injury. Yeah, but despite those good moments, of course, this will go down as a difficult day for him.
It's a tricky one, this, the playing out from the back thing with Russell Martin and Swansea, because games in the Championship, in the EFL, as we know, they come thick and fast. So having enough time with your team on the training ground has always been a bugbear for EFL managers. But Russell Martin had, 3 days training, I think, prior to this game against Blackburn. is there a case here to argue the fact that maybe you shouldn't implement that style straight away when the team are absolutely nowhere near used to playing it, especially when there was a stat that came out of this game where 13 times Blackburn's attack managed to dispossess the Swansea defence?
Is that right? Well, there you go. Lovely stat. Do love a stat. Look, and we're talking without knowing exactly what. It might have been that Russell Martin said, look, we're going to gradually do this. Or he might have just said, right, we're going to play this style of play from minute one. We'll accept that we'll have a few defeats early on. We'll make a few mistakes early on. But we need to make it known exactly how we're going to play moving forward. And, of course, we don't know exactly what he's instructed his team to do. But I can only feel that in this situation, you know, would Stephen Bender ordinarily have done that? Maybe he would. Maybe it was just one of those situations and he's just misjudged it. But just reading into that situation, you do wonder whether he's trying to implement it straight away. But you're spot on. I mean, look, it's going to take a bit of time. The good thing about Russ Martin going into Swansea is that it's not like he's going into a Barnsley, with the greatest respect, to a very direct last season. He is going to a team that already played a possession-based style of football. So in theory, the adjustment that he's going to make isn't going to be too much, but of course it will take a bit of time.
Thomas Kaminski, another good performance from him, denied Liam Cullum twice. The goal from Jamie Patterson, slight question marks over that.
Yeah, two massive saves, two very, very big saves, but yeah, it has to go down as an error, the goal, unfortunately. And I can see exactly what he's done or tried to do. We've all been there where he's set for the shot. And as he sees the player coming in, who's trying to bend it to his left-hand side in the top corner, he started to go. But of course, the moment you start to go too early and the ball goes the other way, you're in trouble. And that's exactly what's happened. He's anticipated that it's going to go up into his top left corner. He's taken a big step only to realise it's going exactly where he started. And then he tries to get his right hand out to make the save. And you can see the frustration with him and with a few of his teammates because, look, ordinarily, I think this is quite a comfortable save for him.
And to finish, over at Derby 1, Huddersfield 1. Great couple of saves from Kelleher to deny Fraser Campbell. Same at the other end for Ryan Schofield. He was back in for Huddersfield. And Luton 3, Peter Brunil. The only moment of note, Richard, in this one was goalkeeper coach Kevin Dearden. Bit of a fracas on the touchline between Nathan Jones and Darren Ferguson. He was playing peacemaker.
He was a very calming influence as he walked over there and stood between them, and you could see he settled things down. So good work, Kev. And yeah, just to mention the Derby one, as you say, Kelleher, good performance. Interestingly, it was Kelleher and Ryan Allsop were the one and two, so no David Marshall. So we'll see what plays out there, because of course David Marshall did have such a big part to play last season. So again, could be some movement there potentially. Let's keep an eye on that. And you mentioned that Ryan Schofield got the nod. Well, interestingly, he didn't get the nod, because of course Lee Nichols played last week, very good in the game against Sheffield Wednesday, and of course was the penalty hero, was due to play yesterday. From what I understand though, COVID related issues, whether he actually got COVID or had to isolate, not too sure, but unfortunately it cost him his debut.
Right, Richard, you've just sprung it on me.
Yep.
That we are introducing a new feature.
We are.
In Between the Sticks.
GKPI. Yeah.
I mean, this is big.
So this is, and just came to me this morning before you came here, and I thought, I watch obviously a lot of goalkeepers every week. I go through Y-Scout. For those who don't know what Y-Scout is, great platform, and it breaks down a goalkeeper's game so you can just see their involvement. So most weeks I'll go through quite a lot of performances just to have a good idea as to what's going on out there, who's doing what. And it made me think, we should do a feature each week where at random I will select a performance from the weekend and go into a little bit of detail on that performance.
Okay, every week we're going to do this, yes?
I'm saying this now. Now, look, if this feature disappears in a couple of weeks, you'll know it's because I've lost a bit of motivation. But no, as it stands, I intend to do this every week to have a GKPI.
Okay, so GKPI, we'll get
Private
a nice...
investigator.
I do know what that means, yes.
Okay, just making
we'll
sure.
We'll get a
GK
nice...
GK goalkeeper. Yeah. Just thought I'd like abbreviate.
We'll get a good jingle,
yeah,
and some nice background music. But the first ever subject of the GKPI is
Mr. Alex Bass
of Portsmouth.
Of Portsmouth, yes. Do you know, I watched a few goalkeepers from yesterday and I thought, actually, it'd be a good one to do a feature on Alex Bass. First and foremost, congratulations to him. He got the nod ahead of Gavin Bazunu, who, of course, is on loan from Man City. I believe Bazunu might have a little niggle, but still, for Bass to get the nod, credit to him, and actually put in a very good performance. So I'm going to do this quick fire, similar to how I used to do the Championship rundown until I pass that responsibility back to you.
I'm not doing this.
So I'm going to do this quite quickly, but just to give a bit of an idea, this is actually what I do with a lot of my goalkeepers. I'll go through their performance, I leave them a voice note, and normally it's about 30 to 40 seconds, just quick fire, this was good, that wasn't so good, etc, etc, and round it up quite nicely. So should we give this a go?
We should.
Okay.
And I like the fact that you're saying it's quickfire, but then taking quite a lot of time to explain what quickfire is.
Yeah, I know, because I'm trying to think how I can condense all of my notes here into 30 to 40 seconds. So let's see how we go. Okay, Alex Bass, 1-0 win away at Fleetwood. As mentioned, it was a very, very assured performance. So here are my notes. Very sharp save, low to his right in the first half. Follow-up was blocked. Excellent save it was, though, down to his right. Very good header as well in the first half. Proactive, played on the front foot, did that all afternoon. Distribution was very good, I thought. He went reasonably central, but the distance he was getting from his goal kicks, going a good 70, 75 yards. A couple, funnily enough, when he pulled them out wide, you could sense that the strikers were asking him to go central so that they could then run in and get the flick on. But I thought his distribution was excellent. One in the first half as well, where he's done a side volley out to the left winger. I think it was offside, but the speed of thought and the execution and technique, very good. I wrote about his body language. He's got that nice shape, sort of 6'4", very lean, very flexible. You can see a range of distribution. Good left-footed clearance early in the second half. Had another good left-footed clearance as well when he was put under pressure. Did have a tough moment, actually, where he got a pass back down on his left-hand side and the guys just fizzed it into him. Two strikers around him. Wasn't a particularly good touch, but thankfully got away with it. Ball went out for a corner. There was a moment in the second half where he was very sharp off his line. The ball ricocheted and he showed that a good starting position, he was able to come out and tidy up. There was also a ball to the far post. Aerially, he was pretty solid all afternoon, made a good claim early on. One that he did claim and then drop when he hit the deck, I think it would have been a foul had the ball not have fallen to the feet of a Portsmouth player. Made a very good decision as well late on. Crossed to the far post, backpedaled, realised he couldn't catch it, so used his left hand to palm it out for a corner. And other than that, he was reasonably tidy. Couple of bits of handling, a good pickup that he had as well. So generally, just a very, very solid afternoon. Pulled one or two kicks out, but he must have had 60 to 70 contributions in the game, which anyone that's checked Y-Scout, it's normally 30 to 40, but he was very, very busy. But overall, I have to say, very impressive.
Okay, very good. Very comprehensive, Richard. I reckon you can do that each week.
I quite like doing it. It's quite good because you go through a goalkeeper's game and of course you're going to touch on the distribution side of things, cross-taking, shot-stopping, but then there's also so much more to it. You know, it's quite enjoyable when you do watch a goalkeeper and you can get a bit of a sense as to how they're feeling almost. You know, you see their body language, you see how they move, how much energy they've got, whether they are playing on the front foot, etc, etc. And probably one of the only times I've really done that in depth with Alex Bass. So I really enjoyed that process this morning, and it is certainly something we will try and do week in, week out. So who knows, you could be next.
And it leads us nicely, doesn't it, to the best of the rest from the EFL. Just finishing on that game, Portsmouth did win 1-0, but earlier in the clash, Yassin Ahadmé had won as he was denied brilliantly by Alex Cairns.
Yeah, really good save this. Really good. It's one of those where the ball breaks 6 yards out and you've got a decision. Do you stay on your line and try and react? Or, as was the case with Alex Cairns, came out and just made such a big shape in front of the player. Arms, legs everywhere, it felt like. And there wasn't a lot that the striker could aim at. But it was the speed off his line, the bravery and the execution of the shape.
And Alex Bass was in for Portsmouth with Gavin Batsunu on the bench. He's come in on loan. We saw a bit of that yesterday on the opening day. Cole Leatheran starting ahead of Jokel Andresen at Morecambe and Ben Garrett starting ahead of Ellery Balcombe at Burton.
Yeah, interesting. In a way, I quite like it. I need to explain that in that you often see a goalkeeper will go on loan to a club and it's just a given they'll play. And there was nothing worse than as a goalkeeper at a club, seeing a lone goalkeeper come in and having the feeling that you are definitely going to play. And sometimes it is the case because of the contribution the club has to pay if the goalkeeper doesn't play, for instance. So there'll often be contracts. I'm sure that you guys probably know this, but there'll often be loan agreements whereby if a goalkeeper plays, the contribution from the club loaning the goalkeeper is a reasonably small amount. But of course, if the goalkeeper doesn't play, that contribution might be a little bit more because of course the club loaning the goalkeeper wants that goalkeeper to play and they'll do whatever they can to try and tip the balance in their favour. So it's quite nice in a way to see that goalkeepers who are pre-existing at a club will still be given the nod if they are performing better in a period of time. So in a weird way, I was kind of pleased to see that a couple of these goalkeepers were given the chance. And you mentioned Cole Leatherin. I said I was at the game and I thought he was was very, very good. I thought on crosses in particular, two or three big crosses he took, made a very good save to his left-hand side in the second half. Ipswich probably didn't work him as much as they could have, given the amount of possession and half chances that they had. But I thought he was very, very assured all afternoon. Distribution, ordinarily quite long, although Morecambe did find a way out several times, broke the line several times, and played some impressive stuff, and certainly were worthy of their point. So no, credit to Kyle Leatherman. I thought that he certainly carried on from where he left off last season.
And to finish on League One, Dave Richards with a couple of good double saves from Alfie Mayer's crew, and Cheltenham shared the spoils. And James Trafford with his first competitive start for Accrington at Wickham.
Yeah, big moment for him. Certainly a goalkeeper that we've mentioned once or twice on the pod before, when we regularly speak about the Cumbrian goalkeepers. So many of them, aren't there?
So many.
Do you want to list them again or not? Not now. No, pleased for him. Look, he's still so young. I want to say he's still 18, or is he 19 now? But again, still so young. So to be making your debut in League One at that age, and of course so highly rated by the England selectors, England goalkeeper coaches. So yeah, this is a huge opportunity for him. And by all accounts, solid debut from what I can see. Made a very good save from Bayo Akinfenwa late on down to his left. So it'll be very interesting to see how he gets on.
There is one more I've forgotten, of course, Josh Griffiths, with a bit of good and not so good, as Gillingham were held by Lincoln. An excellent spread to thwart Max Aymer, but then a fumble on a free kick which led to the equaliser from Danny Lloyd. We'll go on to League Two, shall we? Lawrence Vigouroux, as solid as ever for Leyton Orient in their draw with Salford. Some big old boomers as well from Tom King, who did get the nod in that one. You weren't sure who was going to start, but it was Tom King.
Which is another interesting one, given that it's a lone goalkeeper that's once again sat on the bench in Zach Gcock. So credit to Tom King. That's a big achievement to start the game ahead of Zach Gcock. We'll keep a close eye on that. But yeah, Lawrence Vigouroux, I mean, phenomenal last season. And once again, I'm sure Leyton Orient fans delighted that he stayed at the club, committed his future to the club, and certainly started the season in a very positive way.
There should be a combine. You know how the NFL do a combine at the start of the season, isn't it, to establish what players can do and who they're going to draft? Or at the end of the season, what is it that they do at the end of the season before Super Bowl? Is that combine?
I know what you're talking about, but the draft where it's...
No, not the draft, the end of the season where they do like all the fun and games as to who can spiral it that far or who can hit targets.
Yeah.
Should do that with goalkeepers.
That'd be good. Like in the NBA, we'll do like dunk contests and stuff like that. Yeah.
So who can kick it the furthest, or who can sidewind a target, or who can throw it out?
On a serious one, I always thought like goalkeeping is largely opinions. You know, we're giving our opinions a lot of the time on goalkeepers we see, and very little of it is statistically based. So you've got the XGA, which we've mentioned many a time. But other than that, there's very little that is that trustworthy when it comes to statistics. But I do wonder if someone were to put, and I say someone, I've actually thought of doing this myself, but it would take a lot of resources in order to do it. But to have a series of tests that are very consistent. So for instance, as you've mentioned, kind of a distribution test of sorts. So it might be hitting a target from 60 yards away and having 20 attempts and being able then to build data based on who's able to do it, who isn't, who does it at what percentage, etc. Similarly with shot stopping to an extent, if you're going to use like a ball firing machine so that you're getting consistency in terms of where the ball's going, and whether it be then your physical data, so spring tests, sprint tests, etc. So you could actually build a picture based on data in terms of goalkeepers. This probably isn't the fun day that you were thinking about.
I've turned this into
quite a serious thing. But I did think that you could kind of do it. Maybe we could do it masquerading as a fun day, but actually we're using it to purely get data as to who's got the best distribution, who is the most successful when it comes to claiming crosses or power output when making a save.
Watch this space. Exciting project.
The GKU Fun Day. Sounds like something that you'd have at a kid's school,
like in the summer. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, the summer fate.
We could have a penalty shootout, of course. Pound
the goalie. Be the goalie.
I used to always be the goalie. It was horrendous. Never got any of that money.
At League Two, just finishing, Richard O'Donnell, also very good for Bradford. Got the nod ahead of Sam Hornby. Hornby had actually played more minutes in pre-season, but he went in, did O'Donnell. He has been replaced as captain too, but doing the job with four good saves in that game. And Shamal George, who I think might be the surprise package of this season, a double save from John Mellish and Tristan Abrahams as Carlisle and Colchester drew a blank.
Yeah, very big double save. And actually you can see all of his teammates come and congratulate him, and you can see how happy he was for making it. But big opportunity for him. Of course, they've just brought in Jake Turner as well. So quite interesting to have three goalkeepers of that calibre at a League Two club. So that'll be, again, very interesting how it plays out. But Shamar George, certainly, I mean, for many years now, so much has been made of him and what he could be. I remember going on loan to Carlisle 3 or 4 years ago as backup at the time, but knowing Jack Bonham quite well, and he spoke really highly of him. So, no, great to see that he's been given opportunity. And as you mentioned, you get the impression he's the type of keeper that could climb the levels.
And finishing in League Two, sadly, we have one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
Yes, our good friend Lucas Kovalan, of course, who we saw at the back end of last season with those heroics for Torquay United in the National League playoffs. They didn't go up, of course. Hartlepool managed to win at the end of that one, but he bagged his EFL debut with Port Vale. Sent off, received a red card for bringing down Nicky Kabamba. He is at Port Vale now. They did lose to Northampton. The referee took a long time to get the red card out here, trying to build a bit of suspense.
Yeah, sums up the life of a goalie here. You know, even the playoff final sums up the life of a goalie. The massive high of scoring the goal, being the hero, to then not winning the game, not making it. Then the big high of getting your move to League Two. Then yesterday, not quite going the way you'd want. But it was horrible moment, because he's had the touch, and the striker does very well, by the way. It's a brilliant tackle to take it off him, and then has that moment where he has effectively an empty net, but he's a good 30 yards out on his left foot. I don't know. It comes back to what we spoke about earlier with Stephen Bender, where you've then got that decision, like the moment's gone against you. What do you do as your reaction? And in this case, he's fouled him. He didn't want the ball to be struck into the empty net, decided then to make the challenge or to pull him back, but of course gets the red card for it. And even thereafter, you can see the moment after it's happened that it's a bit of panic almost, where he's kind of hoping that the ref isn't gonna pull him. And of course the ref is. It's always going to be a yellow or a red, just which color it's going to be. And it's just that horrible moment when it comes out and it's red, and you can see the dismay on his face and wanting to blame other people, wanting to have an argument with someone, have an argument with the ref. And then it's the sudden reality that hits, that it is then the red card and he's coming off. And of course, Port Vale, they signed two keepers this summer, which is quite unusual, again, for a League Two club to sign two permanents. And it was Mr. Aidan Stone that came on for them and actually made a very, very good save. Full stretch to his left-hand side, fierce strike from the edge of the box, and he got himself across well, made a brilliant save. Be very interesting to see the battle between the two of them, but yeah, certainly not the perfect debut for Kovalan. Clean Sheet Club. Yes, it's back. And as pointless as doing a league table after the first game of the season is us doing Clean Sheet Club after the first game of the season. But that's exactly what Matthew Beadle has decided that we're going to do today. So let's do this. We start in the Championship, and Simon Sluger is joint top, the collected Crow Hatter, keeping it clean on match day one. Mateja Sarkic off the mark on his Birmingham debut, big clean sheet away at Sheffield United. Massive credit to him. Alex Bass, ethically excellent to the beat of his drum. Bang. Okay, that's a song, isn't it? And I'm trying to figure out what it is. The beat of his drum bang. Victor Johansson, feed the Swede and he will save. Ben Garrett, back to business with Burton. Cam Dawson, starting a season-long loan in fine fettle. Richard O'Donnell, kicking off his 15th pro campaign with a solid shutout. Ben Killip, a first ever EFL clean sheet at only the 8th time of asking. Liam Roberts, from a saddler to a cobbler with expert craftsmanship. Joe Day, returning to Newport with sparkling supremacy. Joseph Enang, EFL debut, 1 from 1. Joe Murphy, a fortnight short of his 40th birthday, where life shall continue with copious clean sheets. Magnus Norman, first since September 2018. Shamar George, picking up where he left off with 3 on the spin.
Very good, Richard. I don't think it's pointless, by the way. We can still list the clean sheets. We're not going to do a table now, of course, because they will all be on one, won't they?
That's
one
what
from
I mean.
One.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's kind of that one where they show the league table after a game and it's ridiculous. So I kind of feel that we're in a similar bracket. Or we just do them all on zero before the season begins, and then any goalkeeper with a surname that starts with A, Ryan Allsop, for instance, would be top of the table based purely on the alphabetic order.
He would be, but didn't play yesterday.
No, so he's still on zero. So he's in second place.
There are two games, by the way. Fulham are playing Middlesbrough and Coventry are playing Nottingham Forest today. But we've had to do this ahead of schedule because we normally do it on a Monday. So we're just hoping those games pass without incident, aren't we?
Yeah, otherwise it's kind of awkward because then we're not really doing our job.
By the way, ethically excellent, Alex Bass, you asked the question.
Go on, what does that mean?
The ethics, La Luna. Do you remember this one?
Right. Okay, I don't. Is this one that everyone out there is going to know?
I would say that was a pretty well-known song in the 90s, no?
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, doesn't mean anything to me, so sorry.
Okay, let's move on to transfers, shall we?
GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Yeah, it's been another busy week. I've got a feeling I'm going to have a few more busy weeks as well before the end of August. But here are this week's latest bunch. To kick things off, we've got Will Mannion is back in the country, of course, with Hull City before. A lot made of him as a young goalkeeper, coming from Wimbledon, I believe, to Hull City, then to Paphos. He is now back at Cambridge to fight it out with Dimitar Mitov. Joe Hart, the big transfer of the week, I think it's fair to say. Tottenham to Celtic, big opportunity there for Joe, and no doubt we will once again see the best of Joe Hart. Tyler Dickinson, QPR to Wickham. He's been at Wickham all pre-season on trial, effectively, so really pleased for him to get this move over the line. Dan Everson, Leicester to Preston on loan. Of course, Dan, who's worked with Mike Pollitt at Rotherham and now twice at Preston. Really interesting goalkeeping battle going on there with Declan Rudd, Ripley and Dan Everson, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast. Ross Doohan, Celtic to Tranmere on loan. Emily Ramsey, Manchester United to Birmingham. Ashley Menard-Brewer, good loan for him. Charlton to Ross County. He'll be going up there to challenge for a starting place up there. Jonathan Mitchell has got himself a club. He left Derby at the end of last season. He has gone to Hartlepool. A good loan for Pontus Dahlberg, someone that we may not know too much about over here in the UK, but a Swedish international. Joined Watford for over £3 million, I believe, a few seasons ago. Hasn't had his chance to shine here in the UK, but now has joined Doncaster on a season-long loan. So no doubt we'll be talking about him in the coming podcast. Joel Coleman, Fleetwood to Rochdale. Ryan Allsop, of course, played 30-odd games for Wickham in the Championship last season. He's gone to Derby to fight it out with David Marshall and Keller Roos. Jake Turner, Newcastle to Colchester on loan. And lastly, Danny Rogers has gone from Kilmarnock to Oldham.
Excellent work, Richard. Just one I want to flag there. Joe Hart to Celtic. I feel like this is a transfer that should have happened 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Go on, your reasons.
Just because it always seemed that his road was going to lead to Celtic at some point. I don't know. It's just the way that I felt that Celtic have been crying out for a top, top level goalkeeper for quite some time. And, you know, he flirted with Torino, he flirted with West Ham, he flirted with Burnley and then with Spurs. And then finally, he's made the move to Celtic. I just feel like he could have had at least a couple of good seasons under his belt already.
Yeah, fair point. It does feel like a really, really good fit. You know, I think that Joe Hart is a number one, first and foremost. I feel that as much as he's done the role as a number two at Spurs and he was in and out a bit at Burnley, I've always felt that him as an outright one, like we saw in his Man City days, he still seems like he's as motivated as he's ever been. You know, anyone that follows him on Instagram will see he's in fantastic shape and still got the ability that he's always had. You just feel that he needs the right platform, and hopefully Celtic's such a big club, and a club that you've got every confidence he will very much nail down that number one position. So now I'm really, really excited to see how he does this season. And it feels like it's been a while that people have been saying about the best of Joe Hart and how good Joe Hart, the golden gloves, this, that, the other. Like, he is still the same goalkeeper that he's always been. If anything, he'll be that little bit better now with a lot of the experiences that he's had. So I'm sure that if Joe Hart, or if we see the best of Joe Hart at Celtic, then they're going to have one fantastic goalkeeper on their hands.
Okay, Richard, I think that is us finished for today. The first episode of season, what, 2.5, 3.5, whichever one it was?
Yeah, I mean, I've no idea, you know, and I really do think that at some point, you know, I know that you're not a big fan of work. Is that fair to say? I'm trying to put this nicely. I know it's not something you enjoy, but if you do get chance to put them into categories, I'm sure that our listeners would appreciate it.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it some thoughts. And it is worth saying as well that, you know, we're not going to blow our own trumpets here, but this is a relatively seamless operation from start to finish. But just occasionally, there is the odd slip of the tongue, the odd outtake.
Yes, there is. And this is going to be the other feature that we have. But we're going to have a theme tune for this as well.
No, this will be semi-regular because there isn't that many and we can't make it a regular thing.
Every time. Every time. Look, this might only sound like a 30, 40, 50 minute production, but we're here for hours. It's embarrassing.
If you want to hang on at the end of certain podcasts, and there will be one today after the credits have rolled and the theme tune has finished, you might just get a little bit of Richard talking a bit of nonsense every so often.
It happens. It's true. It's true.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, as ever, thank you. Off and running.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers.
Away! Massive credit to him. Alex Bass, ethically excellent to beat off his drum. What does that mean? What does that mean to the beat?
Think you might have to reread that one, right, Richard.
Right.